六创意健康店是一间最多元化选择的健康店，提供2000多种不同种类的健康食品和饮品、环保家居及个人用品、健康产品、营养补充剂、一系列健康书籍等等。六创意健康店，电话2882-4848，网址www.healthshop.com.hk。
以下节目内容纯属主持及嘉宾个人意见，与本台立场无关。
Hello, today I have a very special guest in Villa Paloma, and she's staying with us for more than 10 days, and she's coming to Hong Kong again for one more wonderful tour. She's here to do a few sessions, and then I'll be taking her and Alan, her husband, to various cities in China. Now, you might have heard about Janet's story before, but here we are together, and it's a good opportunity to ask her to relate the entire story again. Well, Janet, welcome to Hong Kong again.
Thank you, Simon. It's lovely to be back.
Well, I haven't seen you for exactly 2 years, and you and Alan look younger, much younger and more vibrant than before. Maybe that's because you have a new home and you are enjoying more fresh fruits. Well, before asking you to describe your paradise in Australia now, why don't you tell your story all over again for the benefit of our new audience?
Sure, happy to. Okay, so back in 2001, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I was told that I had 6 months to live. And so that wasn't a very good diagnosis for me. I thought, well, there must be something I can do. Obviously, something's caused the problem, and so if I look and find the cause, then I can eliminate the cause and maybe cure the problem. So with the help of a naturopathic physician who was looking at doing some holistic treatment, we came up with a plan of having a lot of herbal and holistic therapies.
Mm-hmm. You were warned by the doctors and nurses that you must go through their routine, and it was not an easy decision, I suppose. What happened to the family then?
Yes, I was. It was suggested by allopathic medicine, that medical system, that I have chemotherapy and radiation, but it didn't make sense to me to have something that would compromise the body any further than it already was. Rather, better to have some, you know, a natural way of helping the body help itself to rejuvenate. So when I decided that I would go in that direction, my family, I had various different reactions from my family. Some were wanting me to just do what the doctor said and have the chemotherapy and radiation, but after I explained that it was my choice to make whatever decisions that I could for the benefit of my health, then, and just ask them for the support in my decisions, and that was fine. Everybody supported me very well.
Mm-hmm. They must be very shocked. What about Alan? You get his total support, or was he hesitating?
Well, in the beginning, he was hesitating. In the beginning, when I was first diagnosed, we didn't know that much about, you know, the possibilities of different remedies or whatever. And once we started doing the research, I mean, it made sense to just help the body help itself, but Alan wasn't so sure. He said, just do what the doctors say. And of course, he was coming from fear, you know. And I said, well, you know, if I've only got 6 months to live according to their prognosis, then let's use that 6 months to try and change that and turn it around. And that's basically what we did.
So in the end, you did nothing. You weren't allowed you to touch your body.
Well, I didn't have chemotherapy and radiation. However, I did have surgery. Mm-hmm. And that was because I thought at the time, perhaps if I have the tumor was quite big and it was very aggressive and was moving very fast, then it would give me time to work on a more holistic treatment. However, retrospectively, I wouldn't have had the surgery either. No. Knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have done that either. But when the surgery was performed, they did find that I had that the cancer had actually gone right into the chest wall, so they couldn't remove all of it anyway. But that was dissolved through the holistic treatment.
You are saying that in hindsight, you would rather not have the surgery. Now, if we have another woman in your position, and she's now facing the choice of doing the surgery and then go raw, or without the surgery and totally go raw, what's the difference now in your position?
Well, having surgery is further trauma to the tissue. So trauma to the tissue, creates, with surgery, that does create a catalyst, if you like, for the cancer to continue or to even become more aggressive. I didn't know that at the time, but I certainly do now. And I think anything that you do that is going to create some trauma to the tissue or change in the way it would naturally be occurring, then you best to avoid it if you can. It really does depend for each person on the their own situations and the stage at which they're at. For me, I felt, well, if I was at a stage where I only had 6 months to live anyway, why not do what I can to try and change that? And like I said, if I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have had the surgery. I would have only gone with a more holistic therapy and definitely going raw, and as I did. But everyone has their own their own situation to look at and do the research. And I think that's something that's very important, is that one of the best pieces of advice I could ever give is for people to question. Like, always question. Okay, if you're told you have cancer, question that right from the start. And if you're told you only have 6 months to live and you've got to have, the treatment that's offered, question that. And then find out for yourself what you can, what you think is the best for you.
Now, to me, this is a matter of ideology. I'm not trying to be pedantic, you see, because it's based on two different kinds of opposite conviction. To me, according to the green way, to me and my people in this camp, that tumor is our friend. To help us to house the toxin that we collected over the years. So instead of trying to do away with it as a nuisance or an enemy, we are trying to detox our body. And so we don't need the tumor to we don't need its surface. And so with gratitude, it will have completed its historic mission, and it will be gone in no time. So, well, when the time is right. Now, this is the green way of thinking. But to the allopathic people, they would think that this is a nuisance, this is an enemy, and this is something we must, do away with as soon as possible. And, that to me is a very serious conflict.
Yes, I totally agree with you, Simon, on all of that. And I think that, yes, the allopathic way of looking at it is to, yes, we'll get rid of that, and that'll solve the problem. And then just in case, we'll also hit it with a lot of chemicals and try and kill as many cells as we possibly can. But those cells are in our body for a reason. And they're definitely, you know, that was a message basically from the body to say that, you know, I needed to look at what I could do to help the body help itself. I mean, the body has its own systems and its own innate intelligence, and it knows how to, you know, keep us or get us to a state of optimal health and keep us there. That's the whole purpose. But, you know, sometimes, well, always, we put it in a situation where it becomes overloaded and high toxic levels and so on. So that's certainly one of the first things that we need to do, is to lower the toxic level that we have so that the body can, you know, make changes and rejuvenate and so on. And that was certainly something I looked into as well.
Precisely. Now, you see, in Hong Kong and in China these days, I think we are repeating what you experienced some 20 years ago. I see every day people around me facing with this choice. And there's an added element here in China and in, especially in Hong Kong. And many of us believe that, well, I'll do whatever the doctors ask me to do. But then there's the support of the Chinese herbal camp. You know, I'll let my body suffer and be destroyed, and then I'll rebuild it afterwards with the help of Chinese herbal medicine or qigong or, you know, other exercises. And so they would rather go through the routine chemotherapy, radiation, and whatnot, and pay a heavy price. And I think for many of us, just about everyone, the tragedy is we don't have the support for people who would choose to opt out. They have no choice because, if they choose to listen to people like me, Dr. Chow, they have no support at all, next to nothing. Mm-hmm. And they're under pressure from the families, the friends, mm-hmm. And they are very helpless, and they can't see a hope. Because if we have a routine to promise them, now you do the ABC and then you'll be okay, and you have people to consult, people professionally credible, available, then they would be more encouraged to face the unthinkable of saying no to their doctors.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. I think, for most people, they do come from fear, because, you know, if you're just told straight away that from a credible doctor that you have cancer and you have a few months to live, or maybe the diagnosis is a little better than that, but it really doesn't make any difference what the prognosis is given to you by the doctors, because in actual fact, no one truly knows what the prognosis is. But you can certainly do so much to try and change what that might be, given the information that they have at the time, usually from the size of the tumor, and how quickly or how aggressive it is in the way it's continuing. So, they're basing it on that, whereas they're really not basing it on the capability of the body to be able to turn things around a lot quicker than they might have realized. And that's because it's not generally recommended, it's not the standard treatment. And so, yes, having support for making some other choice is quite hard to find, especially through the allopathic medical system. When I made my choices, I was basically, told to go away then. If I wasn't going to accept what they suggested, then they didn't want to have anything to do with me. And in fact, I was told that by them that if what I was choosing to do didn't work, that I couldn't come back to them. So that's why people do it in the other way around. They think, okay, I'll do, even if they're thinking in the terms of maybe there's something else I could do or maybe there's some other way, they tend to think, well, I'll do what they say now. So, you know, the chemotherapy and the radio, I'll go through that. And then I'll fix it. So they're already knowing, you know, innately that it's not right. You shouldn't have to have, you know, if you have treatment, you shouldn't have to then fix the treatment. Mm. You really should be fixing the situation. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can do that is by going to the cause in the first place. So the treatment that's offered through allopathic medical system is just that. It's treatment of the symptoms. It's not looking at the cause, eliminating the cause to find the cure. And that's the difference. That's where we have to go. That's the direction that we have to go in, because treating the symptoms isn't going to change what's happening in the first place. So it's a matter of, okay, what caused this in the first place? It's for sure it's going to be whatever your lifestyle, whatever situations your life has, you have put yourself in during your life. And that may, it's usually a lot of different things, but certainly different lifestyle choices. And if you start looking towards lifestyle choices and looking at them from a positive or a negative response to the choice, then it'll be very clear that what you choose to do has a reaction or a response from the body. And if it's going to be negative, then you need to stop. If it's going to be positive, you need to increase. And, you know, that's really just the simplest form of looking at it, but really it is that simple. You know, our choices that we make in life, everything is a choice. What we think, do, act, see, everything is a choice. And if we started to think more consciously about the choices we make and think about what the response to that choice is going to be, are you going to be happy with the results of that choice you've made, then it becomes very clear.
And now I would like to comment on my dream. Well, some 15 years ago, I started this dream. I thought if people give me a remote village, and if I stay there, and I can entertain all kinds of cancer patients of various stages, all they need to do is to come and, you know, work on the land, and we eat what we get from the land. And the prerequisite is, well, no contact with outside. Well, no more, doctor visits, nothing. And we just do simple things like meditation or qigong, and we just have some sharing sessions, and that's all we need to regain health. And I'm confident that most of them will go through in a matter of months. Well, as long as they don't get pressure from their families, not much phone calls, you know, no contact from outside. Well, actually, in Hong Kong, we have such a village, but the downside at this moment is they still are thinking of going back to the clinic every fortnight and see how my tumor is behaving, mm-hmm. and then they're getting calls from their family. Well, that will outdo whatever we do in that remote village.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
Actually, it should be very simple. Now, and also in Hong Kong, because of the power of the medical profession, and people like me with no medical background are not allowed to do anything. I think all over China, there's a better chance of doing this. All you need to do is to get the attention of somebody high up there with money and know-how and connection. It shouldn't be difficult. Land is not a problem, and people can be allowed to do their own thing.
That's a wonderful dream. And yes, and I think everyone really has that dream. in some form or another. Everybody, ultimately everyone is searching for one thing, and that's happiness. And to gain happiness, you know, to be always happy, you need to have health and love. So those three elements are all connected. And if we can live in a way, you know, like your dream, you know, on the land, live off the land, give to the land, and therefore receive from the land, we can, it's the simplest form of living. And it has to be the best, because everything else that comes into our lives and in the, you know, our very fast moving pace as it has become, especially, you know, in the city, but everything that we become involved in has a response to the body's health. And usually most things these days are negative. And everything that comes in, you know, especially on an emotional level, and even on a spiritual level. So it doesn't necessarily have to be just the physical that we're looking at. It's, you know, the way that we live. Are we happy with the way we're living? Are we happy with the, are we receiving and giving love to others? Are we living with kindness and compassion? Those are the things that will make the difference. And also going within. So I think one of the biggest hurdles that people have is not placing a high enough value on themselves. So, you know, for most people, they don't realize that their absolute best friend is themselves. And that's the person that can take care of them the best, because they know themselves the best. They've been with them every second of their life. Therefore, they, you know, that should be their very first love. And most people will look to give everything or do anything for their first love. So that's where we need to place ourselves, our own self, as your first love. Do 100% the best you can for yourself, and that you will receive 100% the best.
Well, I've heard all this before in your book. I recommend everyone to read that book. What Janet has said is towards the end of the book. There's a very good discussion there about, you know, our conviction, our self-image, and how we heal ourselves, you see. That was a very pleasant surprise. You know, I didn't expect Janet to be such an admirable writer. Well, you're a charming speaker. But then when I read the book for the first time, I was totally amazed. You know, having published over 200 books myself, I know what writing is about. Mm-hmm. And I know what good writing is. You know, that's extremely attractive and convincing. The book is called Raw Can Cure Cancer, and I would like everyone to read it. People kept asking when we'll get a Chinese edition. Well, I hope we won't have to wait that long. Now we have a break, and after the break, I would like Janet to describe her experience leading up to her diagnosis. What happened to her? Why she got the cancer in the first place? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll be back after a break.